We just heard a song that describes how good he is, because he's mighty. Mighty God that we serve. We don't just observe, but we serve. Amen. Last week we had a message, a church on the move, and we talked about Peter's confession that Jesus was the Christ. And then it moved to Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit brought the power to the disciples. And we saw the church begin to flourish. Then we moved to the kitchen table, where Pastor Ricks and some like-minded folks, Harold Jackson and Howard Bernard, founded this church, New Berean Baptist Church. And then the church moved to Winchester Drive, and it moved again to Bamboo Road, where we are today. Today's message is going to be servants of Christ entrusted with the past. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask, dear God, that you would just empower this preacher, that I will have the holy boldness to proclaim your word. And we ask that those who are in attendance would hear the message and would rally to the call today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Servants of Christ who are entrusted with the past. Servants of Christ who are entrusted with the past. Our text for today will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now, some 31 years ago, under the leadership of Pastor Leroy Ricks, New Berean Baptist Church was founded. At a kitchen table, along with two like-minded brothers, yoke brothers in the faith. As noted in our website, New Berean Baptist Church was established in 1989 as a New Testament church on the clear teaching, preaching, and practical application of the Word of God. Pastor Rick's desire was to be used by the Lord to help people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to grow into the role and purpose he has set for them within the body. However, in the wake of Pastor Rick's passing, as we think of our 31st anniversary, we must continue to seek God's favor and grace in this work and embrace our call as servants of Christ, entrusted with sharing the knowledge of the past regarding the mysteries of God. Well, here we have this time, whereas I believe it was called the Music City Miracle, where I believe it was the Titans playing football, trying to get to the Super Bowl. And as they were playing the game, they were behind. In fact, they were going to lose, and it was only a matter of a few seconds or so before the game ended. So they did what we would call a lateral pass. In other words, the person with the ball realizes he's going to get creamed. He's going to get knocked down. So he laterals the ball to someone else who catches the ball, and they try and advance to the goal. However, they get ready to be creamed again. So they lateral the ball, it has to be either parallel or behind them, to another person who takes the ball, and they did it. However, we don't play football in here, but Pastor Ricks, who was entrusted with the scriptures for the gospel, as we just read, he is no longer with us. He's our former pastor, and we love him, but he's not able to pass the ball to us anymore. So we have taken that ball, and it's now our job to be entrusted with the message of the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
In a letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote to a church that was divided. Members were favoring one minister over another. Some were in the camp of Paul, some were in the camp of Apollos, others were in the camp of Peter. And there was a division there, and this church was what you might call Sin City back in its day. And there was no morality, for sin was the norm. And so they had false doctrine, they had strange doctrine. And so Paul had a mess on his hands, because one day, just as Pastor Ricks, just as others who have passed away, somebody has got to take the ball. Someone must be entrusted with the truth. You must do that, or else we're done. In fact, if you know anything about Martin Luther, by the time that he was living, the gospel was very dim. The truth was not there. There were people who were being told that if you pay a certain sum of money, you'll get a chance to go to heaven. That's what they did. We know that's not true, but that was a widespread thing called penance. It lined the pockets of many a church. But that's not the truth of the gospel. Somebody has got to take the ball, and it was when he realized that it was justification by faith in Christ alone that we got a chance to have what's called the Protestant Reformation. There are people today who have doctrines that are strange and different, not in accordance with the Word of God. So today, you and I, we have to be entrusted as servants with sharing the knowledge of the past heritage given to us regarding the mysteries of God. The church is a mystery. It was Jews and Gentiles in one body baptized into Christ. Well, where do we go from there? In order to be a servant, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we see what the apostle is writing to the church there at Corinth. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "This then is how you ought to regard us," meaning Paul and the rest of the ministers. "We're servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed." In other words, they were entrusted with the truth of the gospel. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We know that Paul's no longer here. Apollos is not here. Peter's not here. Pastor Rick's not here. Who then will be qualified to be one entrusted, one who is faithful to take this ball? Well, first of all, you have to be converted. Our first point is our conversion. To qualify, we must have had a conversion. Acts chapter 15 and verse 3 gives us a definition here. It says the church sent them on their way, meaning Paul and Barnabas. And as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. So we know that when people get saved, we call it being converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. So now that we understand converted, because we'll hear born again, we'll hear saved, but this word we're going to use today is being converted. You must have had a conversion. A good steward must be converted in order to qualify as one entrusted with the mysteries of God. The first great truth of this radical change in our life is brought about by faith in Jesus Christ. The correct term, as we looked in Acts 15:3, was conversion. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That comes from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And then if we go on to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul puts a little hot sauce on all of that. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I have been dead in my transgressions, but I have been made alive together with Christ. For by God's grace, I have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul was faithful. He received a download from the Lord Jesus Christ. God actually came and gave Paul the gospel so that he could take it to the Gentiles. He was qualified. Well, he had had a conversion there on the road to Damascus. But are we qualified? Is everyone in this room? Have you been qualified? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior? Have you been converted? Well, if you have, then join the club, because now you are qualified, and show yourself faithful to receive the word of God, that you may be entrusted with the truths, the mysteries of the church. We've been made alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. Our second point is our calling. Our calling, or our conviction, should be based on what is true according to the Bible. The Bible tells us the truth, first, that God has equipped us and called every believer to serve him. As we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Then we'll look at Ephesians 4:11. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 8 says that we have different gifts. Everybody does not have the same gift. And if you do have the same gift, your grace may be different from someone else's. The Bible says that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. That's preaching. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Nowhere in there do I see a gift of gossip. So we're going to toss that one out. We don't need gossip. Gossip destroys, it divides. We need to be on the point if we're going to take this that's been given to us and tell someone else about the good things of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10 says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." Now, who are we talking about? Verse 12, verse 11 tells us it's Christ. Look at verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers." Why? Verse 12. "To equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." This is a war. We got to be built up in the faith. That means we must not come to church just to nod our heads to the music, leave our Bibles at home. I know we have it on our phones now, but you understand my point. We're not just here to see one another, but we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures. That is why Pastor Ricks said he would not play with your soul. That is why he preached the word from the pulpit. Not junk, not cotton candy, but the word. Until we all, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We come to church with a bucket because we want to get everything that we can get and take it with us. Amen. Secondly, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it makes it very clear, saints, that every Christian is to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's our calling. We've been given gifts. We got to use them to be built up in the faith. And then we must make sure that our life is focused if we are to take this role. To first seek God's kingdom and then his righteousness. These two biblical principles mean that everyone who professes faith in Christ Jesus is to pursue God to the best of their ability, to the gifts he has given them. In whatever ministry God uses to his providence. Every Christian is called by God to personal faith in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has equipped and called every believer to serve him. Now, I know that sometimes we may not know exactly what gifts we have. There are ways to determine that. But I will tell you that God is not going to be pleased if we had a toolbox and we just put it under the seat. You got to open the toolbox so that you may use it. Some might say, "I'm not good enough to serve the Lord." Hold on. Let's be honest with one another. Yes, we all sin. We know that. Paul admitted that he sinned. Though we occasionally still sin, we are forgiven in Christ, because he who knew no sin was made to be sin there on the cross, on my behalf, on your behalf, so that, as Paul says, I might become the righteousness of God in him. When God sees us, saints, regardless of what we have done, he sees the righteousness of Christ when he sees us. He does not see us as sin because his son became sin for us. That means today when he sees us, he sees the righteousness of his son. I'm qualified, if I know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be one who can take what was given in the past so that I can take it on and pass it on to someone else, this gospel of Christ. I know that everyone will not achieve sinlessness in this life, and we can be reflective of the image of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And he that's faithful to keep his promise will indeed do so, and bring us to perfection in Christ. We will be like him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, and that one day I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. We know that that will happen to us. But then we must not only know that we have to be converted and to accept our calling, but we must, in our third point, our commitment. We must have our commitment. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude, a brother of Jesus Christ, wrote to these folks and said, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted, not to just the preachers, entrusted not to just pastors, entrusted to God's holy people. Now, I'm not like Pastor Briggs, but I want you to look at your neighbor. Go ahead, look at your neighbor. Did you know that these are God's people? These are God's holy people. That's who we are. So our commitment must be, as we have taken the baton from Pastor Ricks, who we got it from Jesus, we ought to take it forward. We qualified, and the Bible here says that it is entrusted to God's holy people. There are many who start well and they end poorly. That's true amongst pastors, deacons, trustees, folks in the pew, and the rest of the church. We can think of many people who started well. Perhaps some twinkle in the eye drifted them somewhere else. But I tell you, I thank God that Pastor Ricks, he finished well. He finished well. Yes, he did. But not just that he finished well, but he trained and taught us well so that we may take this baton and go elsewhere and do that which we are committed to do. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, our commitment. We live at a time that it seems that not only has become common to hear of people, pastors, others who have fallen and lost their ministry. In some ways, worse, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We must be constrained by God's truth to remain faithful to God's calling upon you. Many start well. Some have had a shipwreck of their lives because they did not keep their commitment to God. If we want to be the ones who are entrusted and faithful to take that which was given to us, the holy people of God, we have to finish well. Fourthly, our cause. What is our cause? Why do we come and fellowship? Why do we attend church? Why do we go to Bible studies? Why do we pray? Why do we listen to the preaching of the Word of God? Why do we listen to songs that uplift the name of our Savior? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, gives us an answer. It says in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18, "Then Jesus came to the 11 disciples and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" This is what Jesus said, the one who was ascended and is sitting at the right hand of God. Before he left, he gave this commission to his disciples. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," he says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Saints, we owe to the past our faithfulness to the heritage that we have been given. And as we have matured, the inward desire to become more like Christ results, if you will, in our desire to become more like him. We have those three tenets that you have seen posted around the church on the website. You see them: preaching, baptizing, discipleship. God is glorified when the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, because it declares his righteousness. God is glorified, that's preaching. God is glorified when the individual professes their faith and identifies with Christ in water baptism. That's baptism. God is glorified when professing Christians learn his commandments and walk in them. That's discipleship. That's what we should be about: preaching, baptism, and discipleship. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he said, "Have faith in God." Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith," in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. This is what Jude means when he says, earnestly contend for the faith. You can't contend for the faith if there's nothing between the ears and nothing in the heart. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, it says, "For we know that in latter times some people shall depart from the faith." These verses tell us that there's a Christian truth that we should know. There's a body that must be revealed in these scriptures: biblical Christian doctrine. There are doctrines which we have handed down over the centuries, and they've been given to us. They are secret. They are sacred, rather, and must be kept in sacred trust. God has given to the men of God in the past, including Pastor Ricks, these doctrines that have been entrusted for us to take and to share with others. If we don't take that initiative and realize that we must be faithful to take the ball, if you will, then who else will get it? If we don't learn it, if we don't understand it, If we don't tell it, where will the gospel go? The gospel seemed empty back in Martin Luther's days. We can't go there. We have a crazy nation, a crazy world, crazy governments, Democrats and Republicans. Don't lie to me. You know it's true. There's one gospel that will bring the solutions for all of us. Can we be faithful, saints? In conclusion, we have a challenge. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. It's that challenge. Saints, we have a great challenge before us. If we are to be the servants of Christ and stewards of this heritage. And we should be ready for that challenge. If we have indeed been rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, our challenge then is to understand that we are servants, not only owe an appreciation of the past, sacrifices to those who founded this local assembly, but we also owe to the past our faithfulness to the doctrines of sound Christian teaching, which were given to us. But we are also to guard it and believe it. There can be no junk from this pulpit behind me or this podium right here. Refusing to compromise the word of God, folks, we owe it to those who started this church to declare that we still believe the same things that they believed. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that God's promises are true. They are unshakable. So we should be steadfast, saints, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You are a servant of Christ. You've been given a message today, telling us that we are entrusted with the past heritage of Christian doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, undefiled. Let us take this message to heart as we look at our victory celebration time period here in this 31st year of this church. Shall we pray? God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for qualifying us by sending your Son, Father, to die on the cross for our sins. And those who have asked Jesus Christ to come into their lives and ask God to forgive them for their sins, believing that in Christ alone we shall be saved. If everyone has done that, then we qualify to be entrusted with the truths of Scripture, the Christian doctrines, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We shall hold it and use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.